Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
To this year in Maseches Bava Basra, we'll be beginning at the top of Daf Kuf Lamed Hei Omen Aleph. Immediately, we notice at the very beginning of the Omed a triangle, and after that, a double underline with dots in it, and after that, a diamond, and after that, a crown marking. Notice all of these geometric forms. What are they doing? In order to understand their role, we will glance at the outside margin that provides an introduction to the topic, namely the Nosei and Mivneh, structural explanation. So the triangles, you see one here at the top of the Omid, and after that, a few lines down, and then after that, we will not see any more standard triangles. Later on the Omid, there will be some more triangles colored in tips that will be dealt with later. So these triangles, Anoshim Lifnei Moisom Im Chazokos Mesuyomos, we're going to be dealing with certain types of people. Our note says that before they die, they have a certain status. Legabi heter nishoiseim l'shuk. The status that we're talking about has legal influence on their wives' marital possibilities afterwards. Be'inyan yibum. Will they be restricted to marry the deceased's brother in the context of mitzvah yibum or not? Haim soimchem al divrayim legabi nishoseim. Can we rely on the words, on the testimony of the husband that is about to die, the testimony that he says concerning that would have bearing on his wife's status? As far as the additional markings are concerned, what we've done is we've featured with a double underline and dots in it the expression "my nechushla," which we will see is we're raising a question: what is there to worry about? We see also a diamond marking. The diamonds are going to be featuring Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to see two versions of Rabbi Yochanan in the sugya, one presented by Rav Chiya bar Abba, and the other presented by Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef. The next marking we want to feature will be the house marking. In the sugya, we've noticed in our introduction on the outside margin, Rava Poisek Ke'abaye Diyesh Lachshosh Lachumra. So we'll see that repeat itself a couple of times. We also have a crown marking. That is Abaye. Abaye is featured within that form. Bo Abaye bo la'arer al ho de soimchen al divrei habal. Abaye will appear in the sugya, questioning on that attempt to rely on what the Baal says. Later in the sugya, we'll deal with the volcano marking when it appears. Let us begin the Gemara at the top. Hahu dehavei ko shochiv, was a person who was about to die. The Rashbam adds, he had brothers, no sons. In that situation, having brothers, no sons, no sons means no children. He is leaving his wife in a position that she's muchzekes liibum, that she's becheskas yevoma, she's going to be zekuka liibum, locked in, if you will, to one of the surviving brothers. Omru le itse leman, they asked the person about to die, your wife, is she restricted to the Yavam, or is she muteres lashuk, is she muteres to marry whomever she wants? Omar lehu, the husband, the sick husband says, responds, Chazio lekana rabo, she's fit even for the high priest. It's pointed out, lav dafka, not literally the Kohen Gadol, but she is not restricted to the Yavam. Why do we say not literally to a Kohen Gadol? Because when he dies, she becomes an almona. An almona is one of those women that are prohibited to marry the real high priest. But the use of this expression is an indicator that she's definitely muteris to whomever she wants, and she's not restricted to mitzvah zibum. Omar Rabo, my nechushla, what should we possibly worry about in relying on what the husband says? In other words, we should be able to rely on the words of the husband. Ha omar Rav Chiya bar Abba, omar Rav Yochanan, ba'al she'omar gerashti es ishti ne'eman. A husband who says, I divorced my wife, he's believed. And as is well known, a divorced woman is certainly not bound to mitzvah zibum. She's no longer associated with this family. So, since if a husband were to say, I divorced my wife, he would be believed, which translates into, my wife is not becheskas ibum, or she's not zikhuka. Therefore, if he says, the husband says, she is fit to marry anyone, let us believe him. The assumption being, when the husband says that, he's really saying, I have children from her. True, we might not know about them, but let us believe him when he says that she's muteres lashuk. Omar le Abaye. As we mentioned before, Abaye is going to come to question the ruling of Rav Chiya bar Abba om Rav Yochanan that we should not rely. Abaye will claim we should not rely on him. V'ha ki also Rav Yitzchok bar Yosef om Rav Yochanan baal shomar gerashti es ishti eino ne'emon. A husband that says, I divorced my wife, is not believed. In effect, we also have a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan's. If you compare the diamond before, we saw Rabbi Yochanan saying the Baal is believed when he says Gerashti es ishti, and according to this version of Rabbi Yochanan, and we've squiggle underlined the word eino to emphasize that word, to draw our attention to the difference that he's, according to this version, he's not believed. Omar le, so Rabbo responds to Abaye. He says, don't quote to me this Rabbi Yochanan saying that he's not believed. We've already resolved these two Rabbi Yochanans. V'lav mi lo shaninu. Did we not already resolve kan lemafreya? When do we say he's not believed? That's with regard to establishing her status as a divorced woman in the past. V'kan lehabo. We will believe him with regard to establishing her status from this point onwards. And as far as our sukkah is concerned, the man who's about to die, let us accept what he says from this point onwards with regard to his wife, namely that she's muteres lashuk, and accept, in effect, Reb Chiya bar Abba, his version of Reb Yochanan, that says she's Ne'eman. That says that the husband is Ne'eman. Abaye says back, Ve'ashinuye nekum v'lismoch. On a resolution of this nature, should we rely for practical halacha? The Rashbam explains across from here. It says, "Vanan ashinuye pilmo amoroi ninu the pliki alibad Rabbi Yochanan." It might very well be that there are two later Amoraic opinions in what Rabbi Yochanan really holds. In other words, there's an outright machlokes in these two versions of Rabbi Yochanan, and we're not to resolve them. And as such, the second version of Rabbi Yochanan is saying the Baal is not believed. The Rashbam goes on, V'iko l'man d'yomar eino nem on afilu l'haba. And that would establish an opinion that says that the Baal, the husband, is not believed even into the future, even with regard to information concerning her regarding the future. The lo aminon migu, that we're not going to say the logic that we said above, that since the Baal could divorce her and thereby free her from Yibum, we can believe the Baal, the husband, when he says she's not Zikuka. Why? Share ragilayim yesh ladavar shelo girsha. The possibility of him having divorced her is diminished by the fact that the im girsha kola havelei lemilsa. If he had in fact divorced her, it would have been known. We're dealing with a woman that we didn't hear was divorced. Kidamrinan, Belisha Shinasamala, as it said in that particular perek. So as far as Abaye is concerned, the ruling of Rabbi Yochanan that's brought in the name of Yisrael Yosef says that the Baal who says Gerashi Yisrael is not believed. And if we knock that out, then we don't really have a basis to say, let us believe the husband's words, and we'll fall back onto the chazoka that we had at the outset, the status that she had at the outset, namely a woman who is Zekuka Le'yibum. As we opened up this Gemara, we saw the man about to die was known to have brothers and not known to have sons. And as such, the widow would be bound, she'd be Zekuka to the Yavam. Another case. Hahu dehave muhsik lon de les le achi. It was a man that we knew or had a status of one who did not have brothers. The Omar bishas misa de les le achi. And at the time of his death, he also said, I don't have brothers. So a man who's about to die without brothers, the woman, the widow, that is Muteres Lashuk, can marry anyone she would like. At this point in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form. Notice this is the volcano marking, the flat top triangle. If your imagery is good, then you can view it as a volcano. We're going to be using it as a keep track marking. On the side of our Gemara, we have the Ma'akav. Svora lahatira. We've noted on the outside margin that with the narrow part facing upwards, we will see opinions that would maintain she should be muteres. And when the form flips over, that would indicate laosra, a direction taken by the Gemara indicating that she should not be allowed to marry anyone, but rather is restricted. Omar Rav Yosef, my lechushla. What is there to worry about? In other words, if we have a man who is about to die becheskas with the status of not having brothers, and he tells us that he has no brothers, so what's there to worry about? Chado de muhsuk lon de les le achin. As we just said, number one, there is a status that he has no brothers. And furthermore, at the point of death, he tells us that he has no brothers. Omar le Abaye. Notice how we've flipped over the volcano marking. This is now a challenge to what we just said. Abaye responds, Ho Amri there is word, the Iko Edim ben Medinas Hayam, that there are witnesses somewhere out there, literally overseas, but witnesses that are not here, they're out there, the Yadi, the Is Le Achi, that could testify that he has brothers. So Abai is raising a concern here. How are you going to allow her to marry Lashuk, to marry just anybody, when this man, her husband about to die, according to some witnesses out there, does have brothers? And if he has brothers, she cannot marry just anyone she wants. She's bound to the fulfill this mitzvah of Yibum. So, as the Gemara goes on, the narrow form flips up again. Narrow point, the narrow part upwards. The Gemara says, Hashto mihas ho lesnehu kamon. As far as we're concerned, those Edom out there, they're not over here. They're not in front of us. Lav hainu to Rabbi Chanina. Is this not parallel to the din that Rabbi Chanina ruled on? What we'll do is we'll read just one line of Gemara, but it necessitates a piece of background in order to understand it. The Omar Rabbi Chanina, Edim Bitzad Iston, Edim that are out there in a different direction, the Te'oser, and should the woman in question, in a different case, should the woman in question be prohibited? Now for the background. There is halacha that a woman taken captive, by the mere fact that she was taken into captivity, forbids her to marry into the kahuna, into the priesthood. The basis of that is that there is a chashash, that there's a suspicion that when she was taken captive, the Gentile captors violated her in immoral behavior, conducted relations with her. And a woman who experienced relations with a non-Jew is not allowed to marry a kohen. There's a story that the Gemara is referring to concerning the daughters of Shmuel that were once taken captive, and they were brought to Eretz Yisrael. They appeared to a Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael and told the Beis Din that we were taken captive, but we remained pure. In other words, the captors did not violate us. Before these women appeared to Beis Din, we knew nothing about them. They came to Beis Din, put themselves in a negative position, but extricated themselves in the same breath. This is known as Pesh Osar Pesh Hitir, the same expression or the same mouth, literally, that made them Osar also made them Mutar. However, given that same story, with one added feature, if these women appeared to the Beis Din and witnesses came in at the same time or ahead of time and told us that these women that are about to come were taken captive, then the women would not be believed to say we remain pure. We don't have the Pesh She'osar Pesh She'hiter, because the individual or that which made them forbidden, the witnesses, are a separate entity. The logic, of course, of Pesh She'osar Pesh She'hiter is, believe me when I say, though I was taken captive, I remain pure, because I didn't have to say anything and I would have been accepted. In the story involving the daughters of Shmuel, where Rabbi Chanina ruled that they were mutaros, the issue was risen, hey, that these girls are saying that they were taken captive, that might very well be information known by witnesses out there. And if witnesses already know that they were taken captive, we cannot rely on the testimony that they're offering on themselves. As we said before, if witnesses already know that they were taken captive, we lose the Pesha Osar, Pesha Hitir Svora. But Rabbi Chanina responds to that in that particular story and says, there may be witnesses out there, but they're not here. As far as what we have over here, we have only the word of these women that are saying that though they were taken captive, they remain pure. And had they not told us anything, we would have been matir them anyway. We would have allowed them to marry into the kahuna. So with that in mind, what did we see in our Gemara? Abaye said that, true, this man had a status of not having brothers, the man about to die. And true, he said, B'shas Misa, I have no brothers. But Abaye said, but there might be witnesses out there. There are witnesses that are out there somewhere, they're not here, they're out there, that can testify that he has brothers. To that, the Gemara responded, and that's what we just read, the last point that we read in the Gemara, and that was, there might be witnesses out there, but they're not in front of us. Is that not the same as the case that Rabbi Chanina dealt with, whereby Rabbi Chanina said, Eidim b'tzad iston v'teyoser, they're witnesses that are out there in the story of the women taken captive, and based on that, should we forbid these women? The witnesses haven't come to us. They haven't testified. All we have to go on is what we hear. And we hear that they are pure. And likewise, in our case, we hear the man saying, I don't have brothers. It's of no concern to me that there may be witnesses out there that can testify that he does have brothers. However, we're not finished. Notice the volcano form flips over again. Omar le Abaye. Im hikalnu b'shvuya, nekal be'eshes ish. If we've exercised leniency in the case of captive women, does that mean that we will exercise leniency with regards to issues of marital status? It's true, we're not dealing with an eshes ish literally, the Rashbam points out, because the husband is about to die. She's not actually a married woman, but we're dealing with her status of us having known she was a married woman, and as a result of her having been a married woman, she may very well be bound to Yibum, and not free to marry anyone she likes. And as Abaye opened up, it may be true that we were mekil with regard to a shvuya. Rashbam points out that just by the fact that she was taken by captives, that doesn't mean that she was necessarily violated. The whole issue involving captivity is a matter of doubt. So that when we know she was taken captive, so we exercise a stringency and restrict her. But that is only a function of a stringency. That's when we know on our own she was taken captive. However, where you have a situation that they testified that they were taken captive and remain pure, and because of witnesses out there, to go an extra step in stringency, that far we do not go. The underlying logic behind that is is that a woman is very protective of her moral status, and she doesn't freely yield to captives. And as a result of that, when you're in a state of doubt, we have room to be lenient. And this is not the case with a woman who had an established status of Ashes Ish, and we are coming to undo that by allowing her to marry whomever she wants. Amar lei Rava l'Rav Noson bar Ami Chush lo. Just like we saw Rava appear above, Rava appears here with a similar expression and says, you should be choshesh, you should exercise concern and not allow her to marry Lashuk. The Gemara continues with a new discussion. Before we proceed in the Gemara text itself, let us glance at the topic heading on the outside margin. The Nosei. Echad ho'oimer, ze ach shelanu. A fellow says, this is our brother. Points out to a new face and says, this is our brother. Ma t'guvas shar ho'achim. What is the response of the other brothers? Mivne, we see here a triangle with a darkened tip. They are shlovim, stages or steps, levarer ma teguvasam. What, in effect, is their response? In our Mishnah, we saw a brother said, ze achi. And the Mishnah ruled that upon his saying, this is our brother, the Mishnah said, Eino Ne'amon, he's not believed. And we explained that to mean that he's not believed in order to be able to extract a portion of an estate from the other brothers. What we'll be interested in defining is when he says, when one of the brothers says, this is our brother, what is the response of the others? At the same time, knowing the Mishnah's ruling that the other brothers do not contribute from their portion in the estate to this new guy. We'll see names in circles a bit later. Machlikas Rava Vabaya im Yesh Lahasik Misugya Shelanu Maskona Legabi. Another case, namely, should we draw a conclusion from our sugya with regard to another sugya, which we put in quotation marks, mona li biyotcha, where one party says, you owe me 100, v'halo omer eini yodea, and the other party responds, I don't know, im hanitba chayav l'shalem oy loy. Is the one being collected from expected to pay, because that was what was claimed from him, or is he not expected to pay? We turn to the Gemara. Ze achi einoi ne'emon. When one brother says, this is our brother, the speaker is not believed with regard to the need for the other brothers to share their portions in the estate with this new face. The Gemara asks, V'idoch mai ko'amri, what are the other brothers responding when they hear the first one say, this is our brother? E ko'amri, if they are saying, achunahu, they agree, this is our brother, amai, why does the Mishnah rule, itol imoi b'chelkoi v'sulo? The Mishnah rules that the speaker gives of his portion to the new brother, but the others do not. Why should that be, that only the speaker gives of his portion? Everyone should give if they're agreeing that the new fellow is their brother. Elo de Koamri, rather, what must be is that they are saying, Lav Ocheno Hu. That they're saying emphatically that this new guy is not our brother. Well, if that be the case, Amos Sefer, check out the continuation of the Mishnah. It says in the continuation, Naflu loy nechosim mimokoim achir, if some property fell to the new fellow, we can call him the Safek, Yushu Echov Imo, the other brothers will be able to share in the property of the Safek when the Safek dies. Well, why should that be? Why should we've emphasized Yushu Echov Imo, that the other brothers are able to share in the estate of the Safek when he dies together with the speaker. Why should that be? If the second stage of our analysis is correct, Ho Amri lay, but they already said to him previously, Lav Achunahu. They said, he's not our brother. He's not our brother, so why in the world should they have any claim to property that he, the Safek, leaves? Lo Tzricha. So what is the Mishnah teaching us? De Ko Amri, they respond, Ein Anu Yoidin. We don't know. In other words, you, the speaker, are saying he is our brother. We do not know. The Rashbam, toward the lower part of the page, De Ko Amri Ein Anu Yoidin, Hilkoch Lo Shokil Minayu Midi. As a result of that, the Safek doesn't take from them, from the other brothers, a portion in the father's estate. The Amri lay, they, the other brothers, can say to the Safek, I see Rayab, you bring proof. We don't know. We're not going to pay on the basis of our not knowing who you are. Ukshemes, when the Safek dies, Hain Yorshin Oso, they do have a right to inherit the property of the Safek. Mikoya Hachayan, Hachai, by virtue of the testimony of the original speaker who remains alive, Shemoide Lohen, Shaoiso Hasafek Acheyanu Oyo, that concedes that the one that just died is all of our brother. With all this having been said, the Gemara now tries to tie our Mishnah in to another sugya. We made reference to the new sugya, to the other sugya, in our introductory remarks. Let us see this inside. Omar Rava, Zois Oimeres, from the explanation we've given to our Mishnah, we ought to conclude a sugya that appears in many places, Mono li biyadchav, halo omer eini yodea, where A claims from B, you owe me 100, and B says back, I don't know. Potter. That the fellow who says, I don't know if I owe you, he's exempt from paying. He ought to be exempt from paying. Based on the idea of, when you're in a state of doubt, leave the money in the status of the one who is holding on to it. In other words, if you have A claiming from B, you owe me, who's holding on to the money in question? B is holding on to the money in question. B is saying, I don't know. In order to resolve that, we say, keep the money where it is. Keep it in B's possession. How does that tie in to our Gemara? So, the Rashbam, approximately three lines from the bottom, at the end of the line, he says, Umasni sinami, Ho'ach ho'echod toyein b'shvil ochiv ha'safek. You have a speaker who is issuing a claim on behalf of the new fellow, the safek. And what's the claim? Momon yesh la'achi b'yadchem. You, other brothers, have a portion that is deserved by my brother, by our brother, the safek. So what do you see? You have someone placing a claim, like we saw before, mono li biadcha. Here we have momon yesh la'achi biadchem. The hein omrim, the Rashbam continues, and their response is ein onu yoidim. We don't know. We don't know this guy. The amrinon pturim. And we say that they do not have to contribute from the portion they received in their father's estate to this new guy. De'uki mamona b'cheskas marei. Keep the money in its current status. So what is Rava trying to do? He's trying to use our Mishnah and the way we've set it up in order to resolve this well-known sugi of mona li biotcha v'alo omer eini yodea, and conclude that the person who says ein yodea is not obligated to pay. Abaye disagrees. Abaye omar le'olam e'moloch chayov. That in general, where you have a case of mono li biotcha, one is claiming from the other with a sense of certainty, you owe me. And the other fellow responds with a statement of doubt, I don't know. That's called bori v'shema. When you have certainty versus uncertainty, certainty, bori odif, certainty rules out. So why over here do we say that the other brothers that are uncertain do not have to pay from their portion of the estate toward the suffix? V'shaini hacha. Our case is different. Our case is similar to something else. De ke mono li acher biadcha dami. Imagine a case where Mr. A turns to Mr. B and says, hey, Mr. B, you owe Mr. C money. In such a case where Mr. A turns to Mr. B, placing a claim on behalf of Mr. C, Mr. B says to Mr. A, hey, I don't know you. You have nothing to do with me. That's in Gemara, in the Gemara expression, we say, lav bal dvorim didiat. Similarly, the brothers say to the speaker brother, who's placing a claim, not on his own behalf, but on behalf of the suffolk, we, the ones being claimed from, say to him, we have nothing to do with you. In other words, you're not claiming, you personally not claiming from us, so we don't have to pay up. So in the sugya that we just saw, we dealt with the explanation of the Mishnah. How is it that when one says, Ze achi, this is our brother, and the other brothers, according to the Mishnah, do not have to contribute. The Mishnah said he's not ne'emon, the speaker is not believed with regard to the other brothers. We saw after going through three stages in the Gemara, we set it up where their response was Ein Anu Yoidin. There was an attempt in the Gemara to tie this Mishnah into the sugya of Mona Li Biodcha Valo Omer Ein Yodea and try to use the Mishnah as a basis of saying Potter, that the one who says Eini Yodea is exempt. Abaye said you cannot use our Mishnah to conclude that famous sugya, because our Mishnah does not represent a case of mono li biodcha, that you owe me the money. Rather, the Mishnah is a different case. You owe someone else money. And in that case, we can agree that the one being claimed from is potter. Our Gemara continues, second line from the top of Kuf Lamed Hey Omid Beis. Naflu loy nechosim imokum acher, yushu echov imoi. If the suffolk acquired properties from some outside source and eventually died, the other brothers are able to inherit from the suffolk's estate. Before we continue in the Gemara, we're going to glance at our topic heading in the outside margin. Shevach sheshovach me'elov oisoi karka shenosan loy ho'ach v'achshov niftar hasofek mi mekabel shevach zu. We're going to deal with increased value in the property that was received by the Sofek. If we can recall, there was a brother who we called the speaker, and the speaker gave of his own portion a fraction of his portion to the Sofek brother. In the course of time, the Sofek brother saw increase in value of that property. Then the Sofek passed away, leaving that original portion or parcel of land that the speaker had given him, but left it in increased value. We can well imagine that if no change happened to the property and the Sofek died, so the one who gave it to him would get it back. Boi Rova. Shevach sheshovchu mechosim me'aleihem mahu. Increased value to the property that the Sofek received from the brother who claimed or agreed that this was in fact their brother. What's the din with regard to that increased value? You notice a brackets appear in the Gemara, 2.5 lines. These brackets are designed for skipping purposes in order to ease the reading. We have a note on the inside margin indicating with the asterisk next to it, Sograyim Elu L'Shem Dilug Kedei L'Hokel Ala Kriya. These brackets are designed for skipping initially to ease on the reading. V'Ois HaSheela B'Oifen Miyadi, in order to see the question immediately. V'Soy HaSograyim HaGemora Oimeres Ma Sheloi Shayalim Olav. Tomorrow we'll present what we're not asking about. So the question so far has been Shevach sheshavchu nechosim me'aleihem ahu kegoin. Notice how we skipped kegoin dikla ve'olim. For example, in the property that was contributed to the Sofek by the speaker brother, and in that property there was a tree, and in the course of time the tree got thicker. Aro v'aska sirtoin. There had been a piece of land that in the course of time became inundated through natural forces, hence raising its value as being a newly fertilized piece of property. My, what is the din with regard to the increased value? Who gets that? Let's read the Gemara again, but this time with the bracketed section. Boy Rava from the third line. Boy Rava, Shevach sheshavchu nechosim me'aleihem mahu. B'shevach hamagia l'kseifayim lo tiboy aloch. From, this is an expression literally, value that reaches one's shoulders. But we're supposed to understand from the Rashbam, this is increased value that came about through investment made by the Sofek in the ground, where the Sofek brother exerted efforts and costs and money in order to improve the land. That's not a question. That is parallel to the din of property that fell to the Sofek from an outside source. And we know what the din is with regard to those properties. We said that those properties will be distributed amongst all of the brothers. Ki tiboy aloch, the question that is being raised, b'shevach she'eno magia l'kseifayim. Again, we've used a phrase marking here so that you should see these words as an expression, not so much focusing on a literal translation. But what is the idea of shevach she'eno magia l'kseifayim? Kagayim diklavi olim, like a tree that increased naturally in its thickness, hence becoming worth more. Aro viaska sirton, or land that through natural forces became fertilized. Mai, what is the din with regard to distributing the increased value of this land when the suffolk passes away? The piece of land that he received from the speaker brother. Teku. This remains unresolved. Let us glance at the Rashbam, four lines from the top. B'shevach ha-magia l'kseifayim lo tiboy aloch. Shenosan ze la-sofek karka reikonis. The speaker gave to the new face, the new brother, that he, the speaker, claimed was a brother, gave him a piece of empty land. V'torach bo ze ha-sofek lachroish v'lizroya. And the sofek exerted efforts to plow, cultivate, plant the land. V'arehi atok kishechizeres lo lanose maleo peros. And now, upon his death, when the land that he received is going to be restored to the one that gave it to him. Because we're talking about that parcel of land that the sofek received from the speaker, brother. So naturally, the basic parcel of land should go back to the one that gave it to him. In the event that there was increased value as a result of the suffix's exerted efforts, lo tiboyaloch, that's not part of our question, though, vare kulu cholkim b'hai shevach, all of the brothers are entitled to share in that, techinoflu nechosim imokom achir domi, because that is equal to, or parallel to, the case of property that came to the suffix from an outside source. The halo karina bay yachsru nechosim lemakomon. We can't refer to the property with increased value as simply saying, let it go back to from where it came, because the increase did not come from the one that gave it to him. Share lo nosan lo peros elokaka rekonis. The giver, the speaker who gave it to the suffix, didn't give him land with fruit in it. Nevertheless, the question that was raised concerning Shevach, Sheshavchu, Nechosim, Me'aleim, that happened on its own, who gets that increase, remains unresolved. The Mishnah. Mi Shemes, V'nimtzes Daitiki, Shura, Al Yerechoi. Arezu, Eino, Klum. Someone died, and it was found tied around his leg, a shtar tzavos shchivmera, a document that indicated his will. The Mishnah says, "Harei zu eino klum," that this is of no concern. The Rashbam on the Mishnah, "Harei zu eino klum." Shafilu im hichsik achar misa ba'oiso hashtar oisoi shenichteva loy hamatona lo koni. Even if the person whose name was found in this document designated to be a receiver of the property took hold of the property, he does not acquire. The avagav that savor shchivmera koni leachar misa, even though the expressed will of the sickly man does take effect after his death. Hani mili savos piv. That's true with regard to oral instructions. Kedei shelo tishuv daito olav. So as to not irritate or frustrate the ill individual. Avol koyach hashtar lo odif kitzav also. However, a written document, maybe ironically, but since we're dealing with this realm called the realm of Shechiv Meira, the written document is not as strong as his oral instructions. Shavei lo gomar lak noisayel bekabol seshtar. The ain shtar lachar misa. There's a sort of boomerang effect, that even though in general a shtar is viewed as a very strong instrument, nevertheless, a shtar works only when the giver is alive. A shtar does not work to create kinyan after the giver dies. Continuing in the Mishnah, Zika ba li'acher, if the Shechiv Meira granted ownership while he was still alive, Bain min hayorshin, Bain she'enon min hayorshin, Dvorov kayomin. Taking a look at the Rashbam, Zika lo ha'Shechiv Meira li'acher, Mei Chaim, he granted ownership to someone else while he was still alive. Afapi shelo nichtav l'shem oisoi ha'ish, even though it wasn't written, this document that we're talking about was not written with the receiver's name inside. Elokach omar lo, but rather the following was stated: nechosam aksuvim b'shtar zeh. The property that's defined, that's delineated in this document, ani maknelach bekabolas hashtar shetekabel mimeni. I am granting you ownership of that property through the receipt, upon receipt of the document that you receive from me. Hare ze kona. That does work. The logora mitzavos piv. That situation is not any weaker than an oral instruction. Notice then that we're emphasizing the difference between a shtar that was merely found after the owner died versus a case of a transfer made by the owner while he was still alive. It was very important for us to have read the Rashbam and notice his interpretation or explanation that was featured in the quotation marks in the passage we just read, where he said, "Nechosim aksufim b'shtar ze ani maknelach bekabolas hashtar shetekabel mimeni." Turning to the Gemara. We glance at the outside margin, the nosei, the topic heading, Matnas Shechiv Meira, Matnas Bori, L'shoinos Hamo'ilois, Shiyukne Hamakabel, L'achar Mises Hanosei. Different types of gifts, whether it be a matona of a person about to die, or the matona, a gift of a healthy person. We're going to be looking at different expressions that enable the receiver of the gift to receive it after the giver dies. In other words, we're talking about a matona, a gift that is chal, that becomes valid after the death of the giver. Tana Rabbanan, Eze hi daitiki. What is an example of a matnas shchiv meira that is collected after the death of the giver, even though in the document itself there's no indication of it being given from today while he's still alive? The source answers, Kol shekosuv bo, any document that the following expression appears, we will know the gift becomes valid after the death of the giver. The expression being do tehe lemekam valios. This shall be established and continue and remain. The Ezehi Matana, what is an example of a Matnas Bori, of a Matana, as opposed to a Daitiki? A Daitiki, in effect, that word Daitiki is in effect an abbreviation of the expression Da Tehe Lemekam Valios, let it be. What, on the other hand, is an expression of a Matana of a Bori? Matona, the source says, Kol shekosuv bo mehayoyim ulaachar misa. That's the source. The Gemara asks, Elo mehayoyim ulaachar misa hu dahavya matona? Me'achshav lo havya matona? Could it be that if the expression of from today and after death appears, that that's considered a matona, and if someone would write the more obvious, from now, let it be a matona, would not be considered a matona? If anything, if you use the expression me'achshav, that I want the gift to be chal, I want it to be valid from right now, all the more so would it be valid. Omar Abaye, hochi komar. Abaye explains the first framed source, that it should be understood thusly. And as a result of our dealing with a re-understanding of a Tanaic source, we've chosen in our marking system to frame the re-reading as if it were a Tanaic source. So Abaye tells us, understand it thusly. Ezohi matnas bori shehi kematnas shchiv meira delo koni elo liachar misa. What would be an example of a gift given by a healthy individual that would have the same characteristics of the gift granted by the shchiv meira, by the person deathly ill? We know that gifts given by people deathly ill become valid only after their death. So could the same thing take place when the giver is healthy? So the Gemara, the source answers, Kol shekosuv bo mehayoyim ulaachar misa. If that expression appears, that I'm giving it to you from today and after my death, then we understand that the gift becomes valid upon the death of the giver. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a geometric form, the diamond, that indicates, as all our geometric forms do, something of a repetitive nature, something that forms a series. In this case, we have an explanation in the outside margin under the heading Mivneh. So you see a diamond with a Roman number 1 and a 2. Shnei l'shoynois v'mi omar es hadin umi tomach bo. We're going to have a halacha presented to us, and what will be brought into question is who is stating the halacha, and who is it that's coming to support the halacha. The different rabbonim that are involved are provided with a double underline, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan. Continuing in the Gemara, Yosef Rabo Bar Rav Huna Ba'achsadro Debe Rav V'yosiv v'ko'omar mishmei d'Rab Yochanan. So we have Rabbo sitting in the entranceway to the yeshiva, saying over a halacha in the name of Rab Yochanan. Shchiv meirash she'omar kisvu utnu mono leploni. A shchiv meira who says the following expression: write a document and give 100 to so and so. In other words, it's a gift through a document. Umeis, and the shchiv meira died before there was a document written and given. So all that was heard was a very ill man indicating his interest in a document being provided, being written up for so-and-so. But, as we said, he died before anything was done. Ein kosvin v'noisnin. Nothing will be done. In other words, those that heard it will not proceed to write and give the shtar. Shema lo gomar lahaknoisei elo b'shtar. V'ein shtar le'achar misa. Because it may very well be that this shchivera, his real intention was that the gift should be conducted through the document alone. And if that be the case, the rule states, ein shtar lachar misa, that a document is not effective after the death of the one who prepares it. We know, alternatively, the shchiv mira, if he was primarily interested in giving the mona, the $100 to the receiver, and that's it, he could have very easily just said so orally. The fact that he is saying, I want you to prepare a shtar and give it to him, raises this doubt in our minds that maybe the shchiv mira was interested in the gift being in not so much the ends, but the means as well, the means being important. Omar luhu Rebbe Lozer, izdaru bo. Literally, be careful. Rather, or more accurately, it means that thusly is the halacha. As far as the structure of the Gemara is concerned, you have Rabbi Yochanan saying halacha, and Rebbe Lozer supporting it, seconding the motion. Rav Shizvi Omar, Rabbi Lozer Omra. According to Rav Shizvi's version of the above, Rabbi Lozer is the one that said the halacha, namely Shchiv Meira Sheomar Kizvu Tenu Mona Leploni Umei Sein Kizv Noisen Shem Alagum Alachnos El Bishtar. That's all everything we saw above. The Omar Luhu Rabbi Yochanan is the Haruba, and Rabbi Yochanan came along to confirm that which Rabbi Lozer said. Omar Rav Nachma Bar Yitzchok, Kavosei de Rav Shizvi Mistabra. The Rav Shizvi version, number, the Roman number 2 version, is more likely. That Rabbi Lozer is the one that said the ruling, and Rabbi Yochanan came to support it. I Amar Zvishnu Rabbi Lozer Omra, if you say thusly that Rabbi Lozer initiated it, it's Rik Rabbi Yochanan Asudei Alei the Rabbi Lozer. Then we would need to have Rabbi Yochanan, who was in fact Rabbi Lozer's teacher, the elder sage Rabbi Yochanan, would be necessary to come and confirm that which his student said. Eloi Amris Rabbi Yochanan Amra, but if you're going to choose to go like version 1, that Rabbi Yochanan is the one that said the initial teaching, it's Derech Rabbi Lozer Lasudei Alei de Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi, is it reasonable to suggest that I need Rabbi Lozer to come along and support Rabbi Yochanan, his Rav, his teacher? V'yoy toshma de Rabbi Lozer amra. And furthermore, I want to bring evidence that Rabbi Lozer is the one that said it initially. The sholach rovin mishmei de Rabbi Avo hevu yodim shesholach Rabbi Lozer l'goylo mishum Rabbeinu. We've dashed underlined Rabbi Lozer because it's our feeling that he's the focus of our discussion. Rabbi Lozer sent to the Gola, to Babylonia, in the name of Rav. Shchiv Meira Sheomar, Kisvu Tnu Mona Leploni. This is exactly the same case as we saw above. The deathly ill man that instructed a document to be written and presented to so-and-so containing a hundred units of value in it. Umeis, and then that Shchiv Meira died before anything was done. Ein Kosvin V'Noisnin Shema Lo Gomer Lahaknoseh Elo B'Shtar. Maybe the reason we don't do anything is because maybe the intention of the Shchiv Meira was for the transfer to take place specifically through a document, the Ein Shtar Le'achar Misa. So we see that Rebbe Lozer is the one to have presented the halacha. As we read on in the Gemara, we have to emphasize that the appearance of Rabbi Yochanan at this point is not to disagree, but rather we will see the clarification necessary to understand this. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Tibodek. Rashbam points out what we just said in the wide lines. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Tibodek, Lav leflugi olei derabbi Elazar. Also, he's not coming to argue. Deha asid Rabbi Yochanan olei derabbi Elazar k'namrin leah. We know that Rabbi Yochanan supported this teaching of Rabbi Elazar, as we saw above. Elo lefrushi also. Rather, here he's coming to explain it. Shitzorch livdok hech tziva hai shkiv mera lichtov shtar zeh, to find out in detail how the shkiv mera instructed the shtar to be prepared. Mishum v'zimin the kaiser v'noisenaf lachar biso, because there are cases that we in fact will write and present the shtar after the death of the giver. Kegon b'miyape shkiv mera kochel shel mekabel el matona, as is illustrated in the case of Miyape Kocho, which is a Gemara that will be following this. In the case of Miyape Kocho, where his strength, the strength of the receiver is increased, Kedemeforesh V'ozil, as is explained later in the Gemara, Diomar Tenu Af Kisvu, where the Shemira says, I want the gift to be given, and I even want it to be written. So we see that the Shemira is interested in the ends primarily, that the gift is given. It just adds, as a second thought, that it let it also be written. Let us continue in the Gemara. My tibodek, after Rabbi Yochanan used this vague expression, check it out. What does he mean? Ki also ravdimi omar, notice we have a brackets, three words, just we'll skip them initially. Rav Dimi came, he said, Shchiv Meirah Sheomar. The reason we skipped it is because this number 2 point is the beginning of the explanation of Tibodek. The first halacha, it happens to be a separate, unrelated point for our purposes. We'll get back to that momentarily. But as far as our Gemara is concerned, and the correct understanding is Rav Dimi came and said his explanation of what is Tibodek, it's as follows. We look at the number 2. Shchiv Meirah Sheomar Kisvu Tnu Mono Leploni Umeis. Just like the case we had above of the deathly ill man indicating his interest in a shtar being prepared, write a shtar and give it to so-and-so, and he died before anything was done. Roin, we evaluate, or we check out, we investigate. Im Kimiyape Es Koichoi Kaisvin. The Im Lav in Koisvin. If you have the situation of Miyapa Kocho, then we will prepare the shtar, even though the giver, the Shchiv Meirah, died. And we don't have to worry about the issue of Ein Shtar Liachar Misa. However, if you don't have Miyapa Kocho, then we don't. We skip a couple words, so let us just go back and deal with that. We saw ki also ravdimi omar daitiki mevatelas daitiki. The matona, the standard matona b'shchiv meira, can be undone by the shchiv meira. The Rashbam, in the wide lines, daitiki mevatelas daitiki shchiv meira shekosav mechosav liechod, a shchiv meira who assigned through a sign is property to a particular person, the chazar v'kosav li'achir, and then rewrote his desires for someone else to receive. Sheni kana, the second one receives. Risha lo kana. Sherei shchiv mera yochol lachzer b'matanosag. And I'm reading the perek mishames, as is known and is taught in the perek mishames later in the masechet. A shchiv mera can undo what he has done. The kevon shekosav lasheni chozer v'omino rishon. And since he wrote the same properties to someone else, that indicates he's backing out of what he had assigned to the first individual. We continue in our Gemara. We already read the ensuing section, but we'll reread it for the sake of continuity. Shchiv Meirash, Omar Kisru Tenu Mono Leploni, Humeis. This is Rabbi Yochanan's. This is Rabbi Yochanan's second halacha that Rav Dimi was coming to explain. Royin im kimiyape es koychoy koysven v'im lav ein koysven. Mosiv Rabbi Abba Bar Momo. Borei she'omar kisfu utnu mono leploni umeis. A healthy person that said, "I want a shtar to be prepared and given to so and so," and the healthy person died. Ein koysven v'noysnin, and we infer ha shchiv meira koysven v'noysnin. If the speaker was not a bori but rather a shchiv meira, we can infer that we would write it and give it. Notice our dashed underline, how it assists in seeing the question very clearly. In the last three lines, you noticed dashed underlines. What was featured? Shchiv meira, ein koysven. The shchiv meira that said kisvu tnu etc. The result was ein koysven. Here you have an inference from a Tanaic source that says shchiv meira, koysven. That if the shchiv meira were to issue those orders, we would write it. This is a problem. Who moisiv law? The who mefarek law? Rabbi Abba Bar Momo raised the question, and he also answers it. B'miyape es koycho. When is it that we can draw this inference and say koysven? That's when you're dealing with yipui kocho. Heichi domi miyape es kocho. What does that mean? Kida'omer Rav Chisda. As Rav Chisda said in another context, the following text constitutes yipui koyach. Ukenino mine moisif al matanta da. Hochanami, so to in our case, the Omar af ksovu v'chasomu v'havu le. If the shchiv meira said, give the gift to so and so, and you should also have it written and signed. The Rashbam provides background to Rav Chisda's teaching at the top. Ki de Omar Rav Chisda, the comment beperek mishemes, the Omar of Yudah, Omar Shmuel. Shchiv meira shekosav kol nechosav yafalpi shekonu miyodo im omad choser. Shmuel teaches that a shchiv meira who assigned all his properties to so and so, even though they made a kinyan, when the shchiv meira, or in the event that shchiv meira gets better, heals, becomes healthy, the gift is reversed. Umashma ho imes. One can infer from that that if the shchiv meira would not get better, Mekabel matona kono. The receiver gets the gift. And even though a kinyan gesture was written into this particular gift, lo amrinon, we do not say shemolo gomar laknoso elabishtar vein shtar lachar misa. That even though the document that was prepared had a kinyan written in, we don't say that maybe the whole intention was that it should be conducted, that it should be transferred through a document, and we know that documents do not work after death. Umakshino minoha sam l'shmuel, diyomar, we ask over there in the Gemara, later in this Masechet, on Shmuel, that said, matnas shchiv meira shekosev bo kinyan lo yodana mayedun bo. Shmuel himself says a shchiv meira that had a shtar prepared and a kinyan was written into this shtar, Shmuel himself says, I don't know how to judge that. Lo yodana mayedun bo. Deshema lo gomer laknos ele b'shtar v'shtar shel shchiv meira ino kona ad l'achar misa v'ein shtar l'achar misa. So we see almost a contradiction in Shmuel. Where on the one hand, at the top of this particular Rashbam, we see that a shtar prepared by a shchiv meira, if he does not get better, the shtar, shekosav kinyan, will work. On the other hand, you see the same case. Shmuel says, I don't know how to judge it. Maybe his intention is that the kinyan should take place through the shtar only, and ein shtar le'achar misa. Umishani hosam, the Gemara there resolves the two Shmuels. B'miyapes koichoi. Hahu de Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the case of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Ein HaKinyan Megarea Koyach Hashtar Shel Shemira, where the Kinyan does not reduce the strength of the Shtar, Shelo Hikna Lo Elo Liapos Es Koho. The Shtar there was prepared only to increase the strength of the receiver. What does that mean, increase his strength? Omer Rav Chisda, Ukanino Mine Moisif Al Matata Da. Klomar, Eino Elo Toisefes Bi Alma Liapos Es Koho. That the preparation of the Shtar and having the Kinyan written in wasn't in order for the transfer to take place specifically through Yishtar, but rather to increase the strength of the receiver by having a document that expresses the Matana as well. But that's because the special text was added, namely Ukanino Mine Moisif. The Kinyan that's featured here is an addition al Matanta Don to the basic Matana, which a Shchivera is able to accomplish even orally. Similarly, in our case, where the Gemara's feature Kisfu Utnu Mono Leploni Umeis, it's a case where there was Meyape Es Koho, as we just explained. Itmar, the Gemara continues, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha Kaisvin Vinoisnin, that we do write and give the document as instructed by the Shchiv Meira if there was Yipui Koyach. V'chein Omar Rova, Omar Rav Nachman, Halacha, Kaisvin, V'nosnin, that we do write and give, provided that it involved Miyape Es Koho. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.